You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
It's an old story. People immigrate here and invariably have to confront stereotypes and sometimes even hatred. But what could be done about it? Well, Nagin Farsad and Dean Obadala began, who are stand-up comedians, came up with a novel approach. They organized a tour across America with some of their fellow Muslim American stand-ups. They call them Muzzies, to try to combat Islamophobia. The result is The Muslims Are Coming, a documentary they directed and produced as well as are featured in. It opens tomorrow at the Quad on West 13th Street, and I'm very pleased that they were able to make their way here. Hello.
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 Thanks for having us.
So, do you remember when you were first exposed to Islamophobia?
Oh, I mean, it's funny because I think my earliest memories aren't really like me being exposed to it, but my parents and my brother. I was a baby, but they came during the Iran hostage crisis from Iran, and during that time, it was really, really tough for Iranians. And I remember my brother would get picked on and beaten up at school, and I think that though we didn't call it Islamophobia, was your more garden variety bigotry, but I think that was the first. Those are the first memories.
In fact, you tear up at one point in the documentary when you talk about what your parents went through in coming to this country. Are you also first generation?
I'm born here. My father is Palestinian born in what is now the West Bank and came here. And my mom is Sicilian, but she was born here. Her parents are born in Sicily.
And where did you grow up?
In Bergen County in lovely New Jersey.
And again?
I grew up in Palm Springs, California.
Nicer than New Jersey. Unfortunately.
Really weird. Really
but
weird.
I love
part
Jersey
of the
more than I think you like Palm Springs.
Well, Dean, you say in the film, I used to be white before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
How much has changed over the past 12 years?
Dramatically. It's like two different lives, to be frank with you. Because before 9/11, I truly identified as a white person. I look pretty white to people, and people assume I'm white. I was a lawyer, and I identified.
You can call yourself Sicilian, can't you?
I could. I could pass as Italian very easily, being half Italian. And my Palestinian cousins, who are 100% Palestinian, have the same skin color as I do. We're lighter skinned of the Arabs. So, for me, before 9/11, I truly did view the world differently. And I feel a connection to minorities. I watch the news as a minority. I mean, I joke about it in my act, but the idea of you hope it's not someone from your group when something bad happens is only, I feel, after 9/11. That's nothing. When you're white, you don't fear that the perpetrator is white because there's no backlash. If you're a minority, you feel that. So that's how my world has changed.
There are some people in this country who continue to insist that Barack Obama's middle name reveals that he's a Muslim, and didn't some members of Congress claim that Hillary Clinton's advisor, Huma Abedin, is a secret member of the Muslim Brotherhood?
Yes. It was Michelle Bachmann did it, and Louis Gohmert.
There's states of the Union that actually think that Barack Obama's Muslim by a majority. I think
Mississippi
and
Alabama.
Yeah. But like by 53% or something, like a very high number.
Because they love Muslims.
And they're also, really they pass laws that make it impossible to apply Sharia law in this country as though
thank goodness, yeah.
It's making our job difficult.
Too bad the Constitution didn't already do that.
North Carolina just passed it less than 2 months ago. What was interesting, they deemed Islam as a foreign religion. They said foreign law because to them, Jesus was born in Iowa, apparently. So he's from America and then wrapped in a flag and driven home in a Ford pickup truck. It's ridiculous that they've demonized Islam to the point where it's not consistent with Judeo-Christian values. That's what they want to do. And it's become a partisan issue, which is shocking to me.
You open the documentary with some outrageous claims about Muslims by various people on Fox News. Had you been aware of them before you started researching this film?
I think a lot of people have been. I mean, they're pretty prominent, and we use some people on Fox News, but we also use people like Donald Trump. I mean, people like Bill O'Reilly, very popular. I mean, Bill Maher is even in that opening sequence, saying things about Islam. So I don't even think you have to try that hard to hear bigoted statements.
And there's mostly
as we saw with the Miss America contest.
You're right, and the idea she was called an Arab, even though she was Indian. And one thing, in the film, we tried to reach out to the Fox News and conservative pundits, and they all said no to us. And we said, we're not going to play games. We'll give you the questions. They did not want to be challenged. They did not even want to we wanted to have a conversation. We didn't even want to challenge them. It really was an earnest effort to build bridges, and they all said no, one after the other.
How did you choose who would be part of your posse of Muzzies?
Posse of Muzzies. I like that. Well, you know, first of all, there aren't thousands of Muslim comedians to choose from in the United States, right? There's just a handful. Luckily, we happen to know all the very, very best ones, and we made a compelling case, and most of them donated their time and just did it for free, or they would say, okay, I'll do it if you donate this much money to a relief organization or something. And that's the kind of, I mean, that's the not only just did we get really amazing comics to be on it, but we also got comics who have a really, you know, excellent ethical standing.
But you also seem to have found people from all parts of the Islamic world.
We were happy.
You got a fair representation.
Right. We wanted to do that. I mean, that was part of it. We reached out to a bunch of people, and then we found out who was available at certain times, and we slotted them in different shows. But we have Preacher Moss, who's African-American and Muslim, and the most probably conservative in that he prays five times a day. You know, liberal on political issues, but conservative to people, much more secular, closer to myself. And Nagin is probably the most secular of the group.
Yeah, well, we really wanted to show a range. You know, we really wanted, like, if you, you know, we have this thought and notion of Christians in the United States today where you're like, oh, I'm Christian, you know, by which I mean I just barely celebrate Christmas. And that's completely acceptable to most people. Or, like, you think of Jews, or you think of Jerry Seinfeld. You're like, he's a Jew. He's what I know of Judaism. And that's totally fine to people. He's very secular.
Jon Stewart,
you know what I mean? Walking around town with a ham sandwich, and it doesn't matter. And it's okay because they have a cultural Jewish identity, and we seem to kind of understand that as Americans. Well, we want people to kind of understand that for Islam, too, that there's a range. It's just a spectrum.
Sure.
You decided not to charge admission for your shows?
Yes. Which was a
aren't people suspicious of things that are offered free? Like, oh my God, this is going to be like castor oil.
No, during a recession, free comedy is a great draw. I can tell you, the worse the economy is, the better we would draw. We had to do it for free. We did not want to just preach to the choir. If you're selling tickets, you're only going to get your supporters. So, and we did all the street action where we'd set up tables and ask a Muslim a question. We even did things where we didn't tell people we were Muslim and ask them questions just to see as honest a response we can get and meet as many people as possible. And free shows is great in theory, terrible from a business point of view. Don't ever do free shows across the country unless you like debt.
We really wanted to reach, you know, those people that are like, I don't know about Muslims, like the swing haters. You know, they could be like convinced either way. Those are people we wanted to get, and we knew that we could do that with free shows. Yeah.
Well, you were running a slight risk that people had already made up their minds that anything you said would be unfunny.
True. There is a challenge with that. If people don't like you, your political views perhaps, or whatever your views are, your background, it might be more difficult. But they get in that room, they're all laughing. I think that people got sucked into it and had a good time. At every show, people had a good time, which we're thankful about that.
The New York Times poll revealed that Americans who don't have a Muslim friend, of them, only 35% favored the proposed Muslim community center in Lower Manhattan. But for those who did have a Muslim friend, support rose from 14% to 49%.
Right.
So I'm assuming that applies to how open people were to what you were trying to do.
True. We're happy to be people's Muslim friend. If you don't have a Muslim friend, add us on Twitter or Facebook. We will be your Muslim friend.
Let this movie
You'll
be
my
your
friend.
Muslim
we'll
friend.
Be your Muslim friend. If someone needs a Muslim friend, Nagin and myself are available for a Muslim friending.
Tell us about the unusual ways you went about promoting the tour when you arrived in a different town or city. And why did you choose the places you chose?
In terms of promoting, you know, we went to places like Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee, and Arizona. And so we went to a lot of places in the South, and we were trying to figure out, in some of these places, you know, they were small towns like Columbus, Georgia, that didn't have like a really obvious downtown or a kind of like gathering point. And so we were trying to figure out where do we hand out flyers and get people to come to the show. And what was happening that weekend was a gun show. So that's just where we went to out flyers because that was like the largest mass of people that we could get.
When you did perform, what kinds of jokes got the biggest laughs?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's hard to say. I think different cities. I think the jokes are more generational, frankly, than anything else. Younger people might laugh at certain jokes because the reference might be a little younger. Older people might laugh at other jokes. The ones that unify them, I think, are more about family and about something they can relate to like that. Or, you know, my father does this or my mom does this or the idea of Islamophobia is straight on, which they're familiar with.
Well, you make the point in the film about your parents that it's kind of unfair or silly to attack them for being un-American. I mean, they came here because they wanted to be Americans.
Mm-hmm. True.
Exactly. That most immigrants really have a reverie. I mean, they love this country even before they've laid eyes on it.
You set up tables with a sign that said, Ask a Muslim.
Yeah.
What kinds of questions were you asked?
I'll be honest. You know, the number one question we got throughout the South and the West, and this wasn't from haters, this was from the average person, is why do they not hear Muslims denouncing terrorism more? And I was shocked. This is 10, 11 years after 9/11 we're doing this tour. And for them, they had no ill will towards Muslims. They just wanted us. And we even asked some of them, what do you think we should be doing? And they said, we'd like to hear you denounce terrorism more. And that's sort of addressed in the film because I didn't think we needed to. And some Muslims don't think you have to. Why should I answer for the sins of these horrific people? But you know what? If it makes some young Muslim kid's life better in America, I will denounce every terrorist I can if I have those opportunities.
Maybe we'll schedule a daily tweet or something. You know what I mean? I don't know how can we do this. But the second biggest question we got was, why are you dressed like that? Because people were confused for the ladies. why a Muslim woman would be just wearing like
You weren't wearing
clothes.
A burqa?
I was not. I looked a lot like I look in front of you right now.
Did you adjust your routines to the various locales?
A little bit. As comedians, I think you're always adjusting. Like when we were in Arizona, certainly we did jokes that we have about immigration because we're really political comics or social activist comics. So our comedy is not just about our heritage. It's about a lot of political issues. To me, Islamophobia is a political issue, and that's why I take it on more than the fact that I'm Muslim. I take it on because I'm an American and I have strong progressive values, and I fight against bigotry. I fight against homophobia or anti-Semitism and racism. So I think it did tweak a little bit, but overwhelmingly probably the core of each act was similar, at least for me.
Were there ever any Muslims in the audiences?
You know that we had a few. I mean, by and large, we didn't really want Muslims in the audience, right? We presumed that they're like basically on board with what we're trying to do. But there were a few instances that we did have Muslims in the audience, namely in Tucson, where aspects of my act actually upset, you know, a good handful of them, and so they got up and left because they thought my act was a little too trashy. It happens, but I think the good news is I think for conservative Christians in the United States is they'll be happy to know that I'm equally offensive to conservative Muslims as I am to conservative Christians.
That place you performed it in, Tucson, El Casino Ballroom,
yeah.
Looked pretty amazing.
It was cool.
That probably was the best place that you performed in. My thanks to both of you for being on our show, Nagin Farsad and Dean Obidala, the directors and producers and performers in The Muslims Are Coming, which opens tomorrow at the Quad on West 13th Street.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.